Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
Every team, every topic, everywhere. This is Believe.
I am very fired up for today's guest, two legends. We got to pay the bills before we welcome them in. Welcome into Believe in Steelers. I'm Mark Bergen. He's Ike Taylor. Today's sponsor of Believe in Steelers brought to you by BetOnline.ag.
365, 24/7, days a week, regardless of what sport it is. Make sure y'all go to BetOnline.ag.
Got the promo code on your screen right now. That's BLEAV to receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. Bet online where the game starts. And Ike, there's going to be a lot with the draft that you can also gamble on. A new sponsor of the Believe in Steelers show, Cut.com. It's a peer-to-peer social betting app.
Yeah, don't cut it out. Just go to Cut.com just in case you want to share with your peers.
And we'll leave the link in the show notes. Can use our promo code Believe Steelers. That's BLEAV Steelers. That's on your screen right now. Again, excited to have cut.com. Welcome into Believe in Steelers. Ike, coming off the combine, we will have plenty of discussion about that here this week on Believe in Steelers. But it's not every day that you get to be joined by two Pittsburgh legends.
Yeah, man.
Including yourself.
But listen, they guests on the show, and they definitely Pittsburgh Steelers legends. So we got Craig Wolfman. I think everybody know Craig. But we got the just retired Bill Hillgrove, man. Happy to have them on board right now, Mark.
Absolutely. Fellas, welcome in.
Great to be here.
Yeah, by the way, can I just start off by saying the only legend here, true legend, is the guy with a Super Bowl ring and the guy who's been behind the microphone, man. I'm just a fat guy that got on stage found his way into doing it. So don't worry about it. It's great.
He sounds like he on Star Wars right now.
Listen. Craig, this is where I push back because the last time we talked, you talked about battling a skunk and Mean Joe Green in training camp. I think there's only one person in this conversation who's done that.
You know, that skunk was awfully tough, man. I had to go left, right, had to do some, you know, okie doke, give him a dead leg, and then chase him, and he chased me. It was a battle royale, I guarantee you. But I came away unstinkified, which was the best part of the day.
I want to start with you, Bill, and the announcement of your retirement, getting to do that with your grandson, Jack Hillgrove. What did that mean to you?
It meant the world, but when they said that's the way we were going to do it, I was really pleased because, you know, the Rooney family always has emphasized family. And the fact that Jack is a budding young sports reporter working in the Steubenville market, and that the fact that he was even on their radar to do this just meant a lot to me. And, you know, it's, but what can I say? I was floored.
Central Catholic High School, Lawrenceville, PA, right outside of Garfield, where you grew up at, went to Duquesne, started at Duquesne, handpicked by Mr. Dan Rooney in 1994, and just formally retired in 2000. And 24, I just want to go ahead and give you your roses, me to you, Bill, for everything you've done, not only for the city, but not only being a voice with the city, with the great Myron Cope, you and yourself. But, man, I just want to appreciate everything, every time, any effort, every game you done put into, being a voice, being a reason, being a Yinzer, so say, coming from the 412-724 area code. I want to congratulate you on your retirement. Appreciate you being a voice for the city of Pittsburgh, let alone the Pittsburgh Steelers.
Thank you. I really appreciate that. I do, Ike. And it was a pleasure to watch you play, Wolf play, the late Tun Chilkin. You know, we were privileged to be professionals together. And, you know, when I took note of the passing of Tunch and then Stan Saverin, and before that, Myron, and for Pitt, Bill Frelick and Dick Grote, you know, all partners, it kind of woke me up and said, you know, you're not a permanent fixture, so you better start smelling some roses. So I'm going to be able to do that. I'll keep Pitt for the time being, because if I do a Pitt game on a Saturday, I don't have to do my imitation of OJ running through an airport to try to make a flight. I still have half a weekend left, and that's probably what I'll do, is spend it at Conneaut Lake.
Hey, Wolf, what was it like working with Bill?
It was incredible. What an opportunity to work with a true legend. You know, what a benefit. You know, I'm just an egghead, just a guy that come along, somehow, you know, finds his way into that. And I get to sit with this guy here, and the guy just makes everything smooth. You know, you just go about your business, make sure that you don't step on his toes. The man was the king. You loved it. He was able to take what was going on live time on the field and vocalize it and paint the picture for people listening all over. And that's just a gift that, you know, not many people have. And truly, Billy's just the consummate professional. Love the guy. I only have one thing I held against him in all the years, and that was Robin Cole dropped a terrific cheesecake off to the radio booth pregame one time. Billy knocked it over, he said, and it landed, but it's in a box, right? Who cares if it's falling over? It's a cheesecake, right? You pick it up, you eat it anyhow because it's in the box. It's an upside-down cheesecake. That works, okay. But he threw it away. I hold that against you, Billy, to this day.
Yeah, I fumbled. What can I say?
That's my rant.
What I would tell both of you is, and Ike, we're on the go a lot for what we do with our careers at this point. When I'm on the go and I can flip on a game and listen to the radio broadcast, it just feels like I'm listening to a Steelers game. It feels like Pittsburgh. It feels like the 412. It feels like home. It feels like home. And getting the chance to do this today, to have both of you on together at the same time, it is an absolute treat. And Ike, we've had a lot of great guests here on the Believe in Steelers show, but Craig, when I got your email saying, hey, you'd be able to make it and be able to join us to honor Bill today, it was just very, very special for me.
Well, thank you. I'm most humbled by it. My association working with Billy all these years, truly with Tunch and him, and before that, you know, Myron, and everybody, wow, what a legacy. You know, I mean, it's just awesome. And so it's a privilege to be here in support of the great Bill Hillgrove.
Thank you, Wolf. I sure appreciate that. And gentlemen, you know, what can I say? Not many guys get a chance to do what I've been able to do. You know, when Mr. Rooney came calling in 1994, I was, you know, Pitt's play-by-play broadcaster. So in terms of basketball, I was one of a 320. In football, you know, Division I, probably one of 140. But then to become part of that select fraternity of 32 and to go on the big stage was indeed a privilege. And I'll never forget the boss at Channel 4, Jim Hefner, called me when it was made official. He said, Billy, I got some good news and some bad news. I said, what's the good news? He said, you're the voice of the Pittsburgh Steelers. I said, what's the bad news? He said, you're going to take one hell of a pay cut. Because the difference between television and radio back in the mid-90s was significant. I guess it no longer is that. But, you know, that I had to pinch myself. I grew up in that town. I grew up rooting for the Pittsburgh Steelers. I remember my uncles talking about Joe Gary and Jack Butler and Jimmy Finks and Ray Matthews and Dale Dodrell. And, you know, their passion kind of, you know, fired me up about it. And, you know, it was easy to become a Steelers fan, and I will always be.
Bill, question. Your most favorite moment, play by play.
Oh gosh, I'd have to say Super Bowl 43. Ben, after Larry Fitzgerald scored the touchdown to put the Cardinals ahead, we suffered a holding call, and he overcame that. Every pass that he threw on that series of downs hit a Steelers player's hands. And unfortunately, Santonio, the one to the left side of the end zone, he probably should have caught.
Correct.
And didn't hesitate to go right back to him. And, you know, my angle at Raymond James Stadium wasn't the best. We're at one end of the field and across the field. I couldn't see Santonio's feet. I couldn't even see Santonio. All I saw was number 47, the safety put his hand up, and Ben got the pass over his outstretched hands, and Santonio did the rest. It was, to me, that was the moment. You know, I mean, when you are able to describe the winning play of a Super Bowl, like I say, a lot of guys don't get the opportunity to do a Super Bowl, let alone describe the winning play. So that was the tops.
When did you come to terms on retirement?
I talked it over with my family, and I said 30 is a nice round number. But, you know, there were determining factors, and I think the difficulty of trying to get from point A to point B, I always was able to do it, getting from Pitt to the Steelers, but it's becoming increasingly difficult, and that was part of it. My wife is battling some, you know, depression, and she needs me at home more. So, you know, all the factors added up to start smelling roses, and I plan to do that.
So what y'all going to do in y'all free time? Now you got a little free time, a little bit more home time with the wife. What y'all planning on doing?
Well, you know, we'll enjoy our place at the lake. I'll play maybe a little more golf. It won't be better. I mean, it'll give me some options that I didn't have before. And also, I have all of July off and almost all of August. And, you know, I've never had that before.
Gotcha.
And if the Steelers aren't playing on a Sunday afternoon in September and October when the leaves start to change, I can be on my pontoon boat enjoying those leaves. And that it's all positive. It's all good.
Craig, a few things you learned from Bill.
Oh, man. Let the game shine. What you got to do is just create that picture for the people. The use of the voice, the inflection, the baritone pipes that Billy's got, those are all God blessed. The rest of us are left with doing what we can do. But the point is, as he's describing the action now, I've just got to find a way to fill in and paint some of the little stuff that he's left for me. You know, and that's how we work it. You know, I love working with Billy because his expressive voice just carried me into the game. I mean, there's no doubt in my mind. Go back to Indianapolis when Bussey fumbled. Go listen to that recording. On one hand, you got Tunch. Well, on one hand, you got Billy trying to describe that the fumble occurred to turn around. You got Ben. And then you got Tunch going, somebody stop him. Somebody. I mean, it was chaos. And yet Billy was driving the boat straight through, man. I mean, just right down the middle. He's staying with it in the call. It was tremendous. And it's those moments that bring you back to those memories that he's speaking, those moments that bring you back. And it's just awesome because of the fact that it's so definitive, you know, the way he expresses what he's watching. And, whether it was that, whether it was the Fakir Brown episode down in New Orleans. there's just epic stuff going on all the time between Billy, Myron, and then, of course, Tunch, and then so forth when I ended up going. But it's all awesome. And this guy here is just a Hall of Famer, and I just love him to death. He's just a great friend.
Wolf, remember the moments before the Super Bowl in Detroit. and we were kind of, wasting time until it was time to get on the air and talk about the game. And I think it was you, Wolf, that said, let's call Myron. He had just retired. So we called Myron. And Wolf talked to him. I talked to him. And then Tunch got on and said, Myron, I've never done a Super Bowl. Do you have any advice? And Cope said, yeah, don't say nothing stupid. there's moments like that you take with you the rest of your life.
Absolutely.
All right, question for you, Bill. Speaking of advice and dropping gold nuggets, what advice would you give to Ike T and Mark Bergen, especially as doing this podcast in this broadcast world?
Let your passion shine through. And we all have passion for the game and the people who play it. And just let that come through. If you enjoy it, then the people watching and listening to you will enjoy it. And that's what I've always believed.
Appreciate it.
Take the magic carpet ride. Every game has its own life.
Right.
And really, you know, people say, well, how do you think that game's going to be played? I said, I have no idea. You know, the magic carpet ride. I'll jump on that carpet and just ride it. And I think that's probably not only a lesson in football and broadcasting, it's a lesson in life. You know, let the gentle winds push you in a certain direction because you have no control over it. You really don't.
Correct. So I know this is going to be a tough question. It's been a lot of Stiller greats. A lot of Stiller greats. Give me your favorite Stiller, Mr. Bill.
A real tough one. The guys that I was able to get.
Give me a top five. Give me your top five.
Yeah,
Rushmore. Let's just start with Joe Green.
Okay.
Because if it wasn't for Joe Green, we wouldn't be talking about Super Bowls. And let's move forward to Terry Bradshaw, Jerome Bettis, Troy Polamalu. Gosh. Who else? Who have I? Mike Webster. I mean, it didn't get any better than Mike Webster. And how about that 74 class, the draft class?
Yeah.
I mean, we should have another one of those. Oh my gosh! I mean, and then you throw Donnie Schell into the mix as well, and you know, it's been such a great ride. I missed the first four Super Bowls in the era of, to me, the greatest dynasty in the history of sports. Because I at Channel 4, I had pit duties, so I was always held back, and they'd send other people like Stan and John Steigerwald to go cover the game. But, you know, I enjoyed those from afar, and then the Lord blessed me by saying, we're gonna make it up to you by letting you do four of your own. And unfortunately, my record is 2-2. Myron was 4-1, and Jack Fleming was 4-0. So I guess my successor's got some work to do, but you know, it's been a great ride. It's been a great ride.
What advice would you give, Bill, to whoever is the next voice of the Pittsburgh Steelers?
I give this advice to any time I'm able to talk to young people interested in being in our business. Be yourself. Everybody else is taken. You're not going to be the next Mike Tirico or the next Al Michaels or the next Bob Costas. Learn from them, yes, but you have to be yourself. We're all individuals. We all have our own skill set. And to me, that's number one. And number two, be versatile. You know, I had to be versatile because I was a disc jockey. I did news. I did opera shows as a young man on the student station at Duquesne University. And it helped me. It helped me become a well-rounded person. You can't just say, I want to be this and I want to be that, and then go ahead and be it, because sometimes it doesn't work out that way. That's the way life is. So be yourself and be versatile. Those were the two keys.
Yeah. Wolf. Wait. Go ahead, Ike.
Wolf, the combine just got under wraps. Can you give me a person or two that stood out to you at the combine this past week?
You know, I got to tell you, I really didn't watch any of it. You know, I got glimpses of it. I'd catch up, you know, what Max is saying and stuff. I'm interested in that Jackson Powers Johnson kid, you know, and the Zach Frazier, because obviously center is going to be a big fill-in spot for the Steelers. And, you know, we've been looking for the Mike Webster, Dermoni Dawson, Marquise Pouncey successor for a little while, you know. So it's kind of like, that's kind of exciting. Those guys look pretty good. So that's who I'm kind of very interested in. I hope that, you know, we'll see how it unfolds. But, you know, the whole combine thing, I never went to the combine back in the day. And I was so good because I spun it to my kids. My kids said, why didn't you go? And I said, well, it's not that they didn't want me. I was just so good that I didn't need to do it, you know. So, that's how you spin it to your kids.
Wolf, I got some advice for you. Go next year and challenge Rich Eisen to a 40-yard dash.
You know, all my 40-yard dashes are way behind me, brother. Let me tell you.
Terrific question there, and we just got back from Indianapolis this past weekend, and it's a who's who in the football world. And the thing that it was my first time, and the thing that stuck out to me was people that you're accustomed to seeing on screens, whether it's your phone or TV, going on shows, this, that, and the other. You see them all there in person, and that's a testament to my relationship with Ike. So, Ike, thank you for that opportunity this weekend, because it's something that I'll take with me for the rest of my life.
Yeah, no problem. You know, the good book said, man, once you get in a position, you should always bring somebody up with you. So I try to keep that in mind. I try to use that in my daily experience in life in general.
Absolutely. Craig, I do have one question for you too. You mentioned the cake falling over. Is there another moment when you were off the air, maybe when you were on the road, when you think that that comes to mind when you think of Bill Hillgrove?
There's so many. Now you hit me with this and gadzooks, you know, the man was totally unprepared. And again, that cheesecake was perfectly edible. No doubt about it, Billy. But the fact is we've shared meals and we've shared times and, you know, the good times, the bad times coming back from the Super Bowl. You know, Billy, that was, you know, that one in Dallas was so crazy. Oh, remember how snowy it was? Fort Worth, Dallas, you got, you know, down in Dallas, they don't have things like road salt. You know, they got gravel they throw out there or something, or sand. That's what it was. You got cars going left and right, smashing into each other. I remember going over one radio show, Billy, I think we did at night, and there was like at least half a dozen car wrecks sitting along the road from these people not able to drive in snow. It's like, yeah, Zooks, did you ever hear of road salt, guys?
You know, yeah, and you're from the Buffalo area, so you're on the other side of that spectrum.
Absolutely.
You know, I remember being in Buffalo in a snowstorm, and I called the weather bureau, and I said, how many more inches do you expect? He said, up here, pal, we deal in feet, not inches.
That's exactly it. But I will say this. Before that Packer game, you remember in Dallas, we had to get a cab. Remember getting a cab? Tunch, myself, and Billy, somehow we missed the bus. We weren't able to get on the bus. I don't know what it was. I can't remember at the moment. But the best part was Billy had to pay for it because none of us had any money. I ever make it up to you, come to think of it.
but Wolf, remember when we pulled up to Jerry World, we were within maybe a quarter of a mile, and we saw an Arby's that was parking cars for $400 a piece.
That's right.
I mean, it was insane. And then, you know, we get into Jerry World, and I've never been a fan of that place. You know, as a play-by-play man, I have to watch the screen, the Jumbotron, to see what the heck's going on, because otherwise they look like ants. I don't know how Brad Sham does it, voice of the Cowboys. But and you're always fearful that when they snap the ball, instead of looking at, you know, 11 against 11 or 7 against 7, however tight they are, that you're not looking at the centers behind. You know what I mean? For the tight shot of the hands and the ball snap and all that. Right. So, it's an experience. But, you know, and I can still see the sadness pervade the bench when Mendenhall fumbled, but that's another story. That's why I say I'm 2-2 in Super Bowls. I'd like to have more of an opportunity to pile up a couple of more, but it'll be up to somebody else.
And think about when we came home from Vegas and the plane trouble that was.
Well, how about the night in Dallas when one of our rookies broke his leg and we had mechanical trouble? We had to sit on the plane all night long to wait for a part to come from another city. And that poor guy's got a broken leg. He's sitting on the plane with us. But the Vegas experience, yeah, that was fun. You know, what can I say?
Ike, that's from the soul right there.
Breakfast pizza.
That's straight from the soul.
Yes, that's
from the soul, and that's the Pittsburgh perspective. It's always fun talking to people with ties to the Steelers dating back to decades ago and just a little bit of the disdain for Dallas. That's from the soul.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And another center we didn't mention, and he had a pretty good run, was Bill Walsh from Notre Dame. He was a Pittsburgh Steeler back in the 50s. So we've been blessed with great centers. So let's concentrate on that for the number one pick. And hey, I never believed the Justin Fields talk or the Russell Wilson talk. You know, that's not a good fit. And so apparently that did get quieted down. And I think what they'll do is they'll bring in a veteran quarterback to give competition to Kenny. And believe me, I watched Kenny at Pitt for 5 years. He knows how to win. He's just been a victim of some very challenging circumstances. And I think now with Arthur Smith in charge, Arthur, from what I understand, adapts to the
personnel. Correct.
Yeah, to the personnel. Correct. He's not a hotshot that has to do it his way. And I still have a lot of faith in Kenny Pickett.
I would agree with you, Billy. That's a good point. Right. Yeah.
Ike is in the scouting department with the Steelers now, so I'll take this. And the question you have to ask yourself is, if you go after Fields, who are you competing against with right now? Because other than Atlanta, I eliminate the Raiders because Luke Getsy, who's now the OC there, it didn't work the last 2 years in Chicago, so that doesn't make sense. You're not going to trade him in the division to Minnesota either. So other than Atlanta, I'm looking at, why would I want to give up a premium for Justin Fields, where especially once free agency gets started next week, I just don't see that many suitors for him to say, hey, we have to give up a premium to acquire him. I don't see that right now. We'll see how all of this shakes out, because once free agency starts and the quarterback carousel gets underway, it's like dominoes.
Good point.
I think it'll be fun. Two words, Mason Rudolph. Okay. Mm. Let him compete. Kenny ain't afraid of competition. Mason ain't afraid of competition. Hey, take two strong bucks like that, go into the preseason, let them fight it out, man. I've always thought competition is the one thing that just brings out the best in everybody.
And I'm hoping that Arthur Smith puts an emphasis on play action fakes, because we haven't seen enough of that. And I think when you run the ball as well as the Steelers do, and they show the ability to do that the last year plus, hey, why not? Why not freeze those linebackers' feet for a half a second? But that's just my opinion.
I do know this.
You've been around football for a long time, so obviously you know something.
Well, yeah, the wisdom of the guys in the booth with me, Ike, has rubbed off. You know, Myron was color with a capital C. But when Twins started, and we had Merle Hodge, and then, of course, we have Wolfley, these guys played the game at a very high level. And especially Twinch and Wolf as offensive linemen, they taught me a great lesson. Most games are won and lost up front. It doesn't matter about the skill of the quarterback or the receivers. The games are won and lost up front. And I believe that most of them are. And I think, you know, that's where the Steelers have to put emphasis, up front.
Understood. I mean, when you're building a house, you're building your house from the ground up, correct? And when you're building a football team, you're building a football team from the front to the O-line all the way back. So I totally agree with that. Us winning our Super Bowls, that's exactly what happened. You know, the Brett Keisels, the Casey Hamptons, the Aaron Smiths, all those guys, everything wouldn't have happened if those guys, you know, wasn't playing their technique and getting pressure on the quarterback, being unselfish. So I totally agree. You know, the Reds, what I mean by the Reds, the Allen Fanicas, the Pouncies, all them boys, we had a good front line, you know. So understood, coming to Pittsburgh from an early age, man, the better your front was, the better you was going to be on the back end. And that's just what it is in football.
I remember asking Russ Grimm, what's Casey Hampton's secret? He placed his hand about a foot from the ground and said, that's his helmet. Let me see you block that. And that was the Big Snack secret, no question. Mm-hmm. He was lower and stronger than everybody he dealt with.
Yeah, that's what it was. And we acknowledge that from the back end, you know. We acknowledge, with the back end, I mean the secondary guys. We knew that front three, that front seven was going to get to the quarterback. We didn't have too much time to cover. We was going to make our plays when needed. But on the flip side, on the offensive side too, we knew we had some dogs on the offensive side. I remember I did a corner, a cat blitz in training camp, and Alan Faneca saw the cat blitz. In the back of my mind, I'm saying, how the hell offensive lineman going to see a corner blitz? But he called it out. So that just let me know the IQ of Red, which is a Hall of Famer now. But let alone, you know, between Russ Grimm and company, you know, Russ Grimm, he's a Hall of Fame coach and a Hall of Fame player as well, coming up with the Hogs back in the day. So I just keep telling people, like, all I've been around is Hall of Fame, you know, from players to teammates to coaches, to general managers to owners, you know, Paul Rooney, Hall of Fame, Kevin Colbert going to round up going to the Hall of Fame. Bill Cowher is in the Hall of Fame. Russ Grimm is in the Hall of Fame. Dick LeBeau is in the Hall of Fame. Troy just got into the Hall of Fame. Seven going to get into the Hall of Fame. Alan Faneca is already in the Hall of Fame. So, I mean, Coach T probably wind up making the Hall of Fame too as well whenever he retires. So it was just me, Mike Munchak, Hall of Fame. So that's all I've really been around. Myron Cope, Hall of Fame. Broadcasting announcer. So you, I can just go down the line of just Hall of Famers I've been around. So I was just very fortunate enough to get drafted by the Pittsburgh Steelers. One, little did I know what I was getting myself into in the long run. You know, from a kid like me growing up in New Orleans to being one of the pallbearers at Paul Rooney funeral. You know, so that said a lot to me. That said a lot how not only the Rooneys, but yet y'all, the city of Pittsburgh, embraced old little Ike Taylor. So I just want to appreciate all y'all for making me a Yinzer as well. Even though I'm coming from the South, I always embrace and call Pittsburgh home.
Ike, you had a great career. You're a great player. You're a great addition to the coaching, to the scouting staff, your ability to talk to the young guys, impart some of that information. You know, Billy told you earlier, you know, it was great. What advice? The one advice I would always say to you, you just keep taking the fan where they can't go. You take them inside that mind of Ike Taylor and deliver that knowledge that you delivered when you're doing the high battle with, you know, whatever receiver as you were working in trail. And I always admired the fact that you could cover like crazy and do all that stuff. That's amazing athletic ability. You ran so fast. I'd never seen that kind of speed unless I was riding in a car. So, you know, it was just, I appreciated your talent, man.
Or on the Steel Phantom.
Yeah, or on the Steel Phantom. There you go.
I didn't have the guts to get on it, but you and Tunch rode it. And who was Who was the big lineman? He couldn't fit, so he couldn't ride it.
Oh, my goodness. Who was that guy? That was San Diego. Was it San Diego? Offensive lineman. My goodness. I can't think of him at the moment. Having a senior moment.
It happens. It happens. Fellas, is there anything, Craig, just having Bill here today, what would you tell him as he heads off in retirement? I just think it's so cool that we can all get together and have this moment together. But I'm sure you two have talked off the air, but when you found out the news, just what did you tell him? What did you say to him? And what do you hope to wish him in retirement now that he'll just be a voice of Pitt Athletics? What would you say to Bill?
Well, I would say there's a comic named Bill Crawford, Pittsburgh here, who summarized the man up great. He said, this guy worked so hard, meaning Bill Hillgrove worked so hard, he retired and he still got a full-time job. You know, that's just the greatest quote. But I will say this, Billy, I love you. Thank you for all that you've done for me, all the things you've spoken to my life, for your friendship, for your care. You've spoken into so many lives in all of Pittsburgh and throughout is the voice of the Steelers and your work at Pitt and everything like that. You've been a great mentor and a friend. You know what? I just love you, bud. That's all. And I thank you for your time, for everything. And God bless you. And, of course, don't be a stranger. You'll be around.
I'll be around. If I have a regret, it's this. I'll miss you and all the folks in the booth. Yeah. And even, you know, especially the guys behind the scenes who get us on the air and keep us on the air and keep us honest. The spotters and the stat guys and the engineer producer. I mean, you know, I'll miss that part of it. But when it's time to move on, it's time to move on.
Hey, Wolf, take your time on retirement. Wolf, it's always a pleasure to come up there in training camps sit down there and chop it up with you and Big Max up in the booth. On another note, Bill, I just appreciate everything you've done, not only for the Pittsburgh Steelers, being a voice for the Pittsburgh Steelers, but just being a voice for the city as well. Enjoy your retirement. Well-deserved, well-deserved. Enjoy, have fun, get a couple of swings, a couple of golfs in. And between you and Wolf, man, thank y'all for coming on the show. I know y'all had time.
Thank you, Ike.
Taking time out.
It's been
out.
A pure pleasure and an honor. Thank you, thank you.
I appreciate y'all taking y'all time out and coming on the show with Mark and I.
Yeah, and I'll wrap here, gentlemen, to both of you. Thank you for coming on as guests of our show and adding to the legitimacy. When Ike and I started this show in 2019, you know, Ike, we'd do a month full of work and we'd be lucky to get a box of pizza afterwards for the hard work. And I just love what we're building together. And you two, the very first time I reached out to both of you, when do you need me? When do you want to talk? Let's do it. Let's talk Steelers football. So thank you to both of you for coming on as guests of the Believe in Steelers show.
Appreciate you, Will. Appreciate you, Bill.
Thank you. Thank you so much, Mark. And I will say this, and I'll close with this. Talk about legitimacy. You got that guy with the Super Bowl rings there, man, named Ike Taylor. That's all the legitimacy in the world you need.
Amen.
That's a legit voice, let me tell you.
Appreciate that, Craig. I'll go ahead and wrap for all of us, for our guests, Craig Wolfley and Bill Hillgrove and Ike Taylor. I'm Mark Bergen. Thanks for watching Believe in Steelers. We'll see you next time. Until then, take care. So long, everybody.
Peace.
Thank you for listening to Believe. You can show support to your host by subscribing to the show and giving us a 5-star rating on your preferred platform. Check us out at Believe.com and search for BLEAV on YouTube.